The whole, I thought that he couldn't.
Okay, we're continuing the Rambam. We're in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Yom Kippurim. We're in the middle or towards the end of Halacha Aleph. He's got the, he's carrying the fire pan and the ketores. He has in two separate hands. He's got the fire pan in the right hand because it's heavier and the right hand is stronger for the coin. The left hand, he's got the ketores that's already been scooped up and put into that container. Okay, and now he is going to enter into the Holies of Holies. This is where he's going, to the Holies of Holies, which should be coming up. And that's the picture you're going to want in a minute. Now, Matzah HaParochas Perusa, if he finds the, he does find the Parochas opened, Nichnas L'Kodesh HaKadoshim, he enters into the Holies of Holies, Achu Magia La'aron, until he gets to the ark. Okay? Now, he gets to the Aron. No saying Hamachta Bein Shnei Abadim. He puts the pan with the coals in between the two poles. As the picture. Howard, maybe you want to share with everybody. Maybe put it on the other side. He puts the fire pan in between the two poles. Now, of course, that was only in the first temple where there was a Beis Hamikdash. The Aron. Okay, however, Ubabaya Shani, second temple era, Shalohi Aron, there was no Aron. Where did he put it? Hayomanichal Evan Hashasiyah. He put on the foundation stone. I think that's going to be the next page, I believe. Is there a picture of foundation stone?
There it is.
There's the foundation stone. That's where the world was created from. All right? So either that or one, depending on which base of Migdash. Now, here things get.
Isn't it round, the foundation stone?
Mark Howard, it's what it's what that picture. It's all we can go with. Now turn the page back. Now is the tricky part, guys. He's got to be able to put the ketores. Look at the pictures on the left side there. He's got to put the ketores into his hands, okay, and then from there pour it onto the fire pan. Now remember, during the year, the Kohen who did the regular ketores, he had another guy helping him. But the Kohen Gadol now, he's all by himself in the Kodesh Kodashim. He's got nobody helping him. So how are you going to get out? Here's the idea, guys. You got to have two handfuls of ketores in your hand to put over the coals. Now, unless you got three hands, this is a hard job.
So he's got the fire pan. He's
now, the fire pan's on the ground. There's nothing we're at. Fire pan's on.
When he walks in, though, he's got.
Well, that's okay. He has the fire pan in the right hand and the spices in the left hand. That's no problem. That's easy. Relatively. Okay. So now he puts the fire pan down. That's also easy. But now he's got that utensil over there that's filled with the ketores. Right. Now, he has to, with two hands, be able to get the ketores out of that utensil without spilling. And it's got to be two handfuls. Right. One handful wouldn't be a problem. You pour from one. But how do you pour from one into two handfuls?
That's so Denise.
Not the knees. There's no joking. Knees just over there. Yeah. Okay. So what does he do? For oiches svas hakaf, he holds the. Don't turn the page. You're on the right page. That's the page you want to look at. He's holding the edge of that utensil, berushes with his tips, or beshinov, or with his teeth, if he would like. And now what he does is, as he's holding by the tips, umaara, and he flips haketores. Bigodlo. So he's going to flip it with his thumbs. So he's like taking the container with his fingertips and kind of inclining it in. Like with two hands, let's say this was the ketores pan. I can't, it's filled with drinks. Let's say it's filled with the.
But you can see his thumb is inside the ridge, so he can flip it over.
Here, now, the ketores is in here. That's a really bad picture, but now he's going to take the tips, okay, with the tips, he's going to hold it like this. 1 minute.
He said he can't spill, right?
Can't spill. And now look, with his thumbs, he's taking it out. Right. But he's got it. But he's got to be much more dexterous than me because he has to have a whole fistful so he can all hold this by the tips.
But isn't this thing heavy too?
So he's got to hold it by the tips and with the same time lose his thumb. And he has to keep the hands closed. You can't have it like this, going right through.
Seems awfully difficult.
So I guess any coin who could do his fingers like this, you know, must have some dexterity of the fingers. So he's holding it by the tips and pulling it down with the thumbs, and then he's getting it to go without spilling. That is a real feat. And that's, you see, the picture exactly.
If you look at this thing, it's got a, you know, a foot to it. So, I mean, you know, the torque on this thing must be really hard to do because, you know, it's going to be pulling it backward.
Whatever it is, it was not an easy job. That's all we're saying. And that's why he had to practice that. That took a lot of, you know, you don't want to, like, fumble it and the whole thing falls and scatters all over the ground. Would not be a good thing.
So just well, nobody's going to know he's by himself.
This is different than the incense he puts on the mizbech. There's a little mizbech.
It's the same ketores. Exact same ketores. Maybe a different measurement of ketores.
But does he do that and this?
Or no, on Yom Kippur, yeah. He has to do the regular daily avoda. The ketores is done every day. Korban tamid, part of the tamid ketores. He does all that. That we did already.
Right, we did.
That
and
he
on the little mizbech, right?
On the little mizbech. Now this is the unique ketores for Yom Kippur. Okay? And it's much harder because he has to do it by himself.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's what's going on over there. Now that he's got it in his hands, I think that's the upper left picture from the, I don't know, is that with the...
He's got a first handful and a second handful, so...
Well, I'm not exact. Maybe that's when he puts... Well, I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, but he has to end up with the two hands over there. The bottom picture. Now, go to the picture on the right. And now he has to put the incense into the fire. Now, he has to be careful where he starts. Umaora haketores. Oh, I have to read the line. I skipped the line. Umaoras haketores begudlo. He flips the ketores with his thumb. Letochafnav into his palms. Achemachsirlin lo chafnav kishahoisa. Until he now has two full palms that it was before. Look what it says around. Vizohi avoda koshish b'migdash. That was the hardest service in the migdash, obviously. Now.
Whoa! Pouring from his feet.
Pouring it from the cup into his palm. That was the hardest avoda.
Okay.
Now, Vitzover. Now he collects when he's going to spread. He's going to spread the ketores. Now that's the picture on the right. Now, as well, agabichom on the coals, biyado from his head, lifnim b'machta, closer to the aron, on top of the pan. In other words, where he doesn't want to start where it's closer to his body. He wants to start further away from his body for obvious reasons and then move his way back towards him. And you want the ketores as it's hitting the coals to be closer to the ark, away from his face, so he shouldn't get singed. Okay? Because if he puts it down right in front of his face, it's going to blow up right in his face and he still has to scatter it about. So I don't know if the picture is accurate there, but he should be starting further away. Maybe that's right by the end.
Maybe it's by the end over there. But he's got a lot of smoke already.
Now he can't leave right away. Umam team shomani waits there at Shismale Habayis Oshan until the entire structure in there is filled with smoke. Smokes up.
How's he going to breathe?
Until it fills, then he leaves. You know, it's not poison. It's a very, you know, it's an arrow.
There's no roof, is there?
It goes up pretty high.
Yeah.
There is a roof. Okay. There eventually is a roof. Right. Till smoke fills, and then he leaves. It's a very nice smell. The ketores is a very nice smell. So it's then he leaves. But how does he leave? Humahale chacharanis. He goes backwards, obviously for respect. Ma'at ma'at, a little. Pun of Lakodesh, his face is facing the holies. Vacharvin is back lahechol to the rest of the sanctuary backwards. Until he gets out of the parochas. So he's going to back his way out right to behind the curtain. I don't know what's going to be after that. That's ready. Another picture.
So there's no rope attached to him?
That is later in Second Temple era, but that's not the avoda. The rope is not the avoda. The rope is just to make sure if he dies.
No, that's what I mean. I know.
Wouldn't there have been a rope at the time in the first?
I don't think they did it right away. They had pretty good coin guttles. During the first base, second base was a problem. But that's not part. Rama's talking about the Hilchos Avoda.
Right,
he's talking about the rabbis in case a guy would die. Yeah. Now wait. Go to the next picture. You skipped the picture. Go back where you were. Okay. Turn. Okay. Now look at the right picture. What's he doing there? Now this is he's just exited the parochas. Right. This is where the Rambam picks it up. Umispalo shom behechol. Now he davens in the hechol. Just past the paroches, after she yotz, after he left, tefila katzara, a brief prayer. And you figure he should be davening a long time. This is a good time to daven for a long time. No, a short prayer. Why? Shalahavisam, not to scare the people, because they could think he didn't make it out. If he takes a long time, they think maybe he died. So it's a brief Shema Yomrim. They're going to say, Meis Behechel, he died in the Hechel. And also you have to know, when he did the Avoda in that area, there was nobody in the Hechel. Period. Just like we had when the Kohen, Kohanim did certain, the other Kohen did the Paroches, did the Ketores in the Hechel, nobody could be west of the Mizbech. At that point, that has to be all clear. So here we take it one step away. Since he started in the Kachik Kedoshim, it had to be all clear until outside the Hechel. So now when he's in the Hechel, there's nobody there. Not a soul is in the Hechel. They have no idea what's going on. So if he takes a long time praying, they may think he died. And he would make four specific prayers. Number one, Yiratzu Mufanecha Shem Elokeinu. It should be your will, Hashem. Number one, Shim Tiyeh Shanazu Shechuna. If it was destined that this year should be a year of drought, Hashem Tiyeh Geshu, make it rain. So I'd like you to change your verdict. Number two, Vlo Yosser Shevet Mbeis Yehuda. The kingship should not leave from the tribe of Yehuda, meaning that there should be, you know, Davidic control, and there shouldn't be enemies overrunning us. Number three, Velo Yam Chabesol Shrichin LaParnasa, and that the Jewish people should not need Parnasa, meaning that there shouldn't be economic woes with the country. And now now those three make a lot of sense.
Which the last one I don't get.
The last one's interesting. Four, Val Tikonis of Anecha Tfilas Overage Rachim. Do not allow to enter before you the prayers of the wayfarers. In other words, don't accept their prayers. What does that mean? These are people who are traveling. This is the typical Israeli. The American tourist who goes to Israel in the middle of December and says, I sure hope it doesn't rain. Yeah. And they all say, what are you talking about? We need rain. Well, let it rain when the next tourist comes. Right? They say, well, that's the next tourist says. In other words, the people who are traveling back and forth to Jerusalem, they're praying it shouldn't rain.
Right.
So he's saying, don't accept their prayers because we need the rain. Now, it's interesting, the Mefarshim asked, like, what are we worried about these not nice people who are praying for those selfish interests? The answer is, you have to know something. As maybe not nice or not, but a person who really means what he prays, Hashem listens. That wayfarer, he really means what he's praying, because he doesn't want to get stuck in the mud and is wagging at this. He really is sincerely praying. If it's for good or bad, it doesn't matter. Hashem does listen to sincere prayers. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol has to overturn that, as it were, with a more sincere prayer and says, don't listen to their prayers to make it such that it shouldn't rain because we listen to
He's
their prayers.
He's assuming you're praying that it doesn't rain and not for something else.
I'm sorry?
He's assuming that they're praying.
Well, but he knows that people are praying that. In other words, it's a negative prayer. So don't listen to these negative prayers. It affects the whole country negatively.
He just means negative as opposed to rain. What if it's a wayfarer that's doing a positive prayer? He wants a shidduch.
No, he's just talking about this specific thing. Rain. This is detrimental to the country.
It doesn't say that clearly here.
But that's what it means. So the English may not say it, but that's what it means. Okay, moving on. Halacha Beis is also not short. It goes all the way to the end.
This all happened after the goats?
We're in the middle of the goats.
This is a recap.
This is a recap of everything.
This is the recap. It's all online. You can listen for the first half of what happened over there. There's a lot of things holding in the middle, if you recall. Okay, a lot of things are holding in the middle. So now we continue. Beis. Now, Bishas Haktoras, Bikoreshos. At the same time that the Kohen Gadol is burning the Ketoras in the Kachik Kedoshim, Kol Ha'om Porsi, I already spoke this out. Kol Ha'om Porsi Min HaHechol. Everyone has to leave the Hechol, but only the Hechol. They don't have to go all the way past the Mizbeach. There's a space. You have the Hechel and the Mizbeach. When a regular Kohen did the Avoda in the Hechel, no one could be from the Hechel and all the way to the Mizbeach. But now, since he's doing the Kachik Kedoshim and the Hechel, so only restriction until the end of the Hechel. Okay, Bovad, only the Ein Pors Bein Olam. They don't have to separate between the Ulam, that's the entranceway into the Hechel, and the Mizbeach, that area. They don't have to leave that area. They can be in that area because they're ready. He was already two steps away in the Kachik Kedoshim. So they've already been at a distance from him. Okay, Shein Porsi mi beino ulan lizbech. The only time we have to go away between the entrance to the Hechel and the Mizbech, Elabishas Haktorah beHechel b'chol yom. That's only when the Ketoras offering was done every year, every day during the year in the Hechel. Then will be Shas Matan Dami beHechel, and we're putting blood in the Hechel. Kamosh Rana Hilchasmin as one Hilchasmin. So all the Rambam is saying is that for this second Ketoras, that the Kohen Gadol does in the Kodesh Kodashim, people only have to be out of the Heichal, but they can be between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Good. Now, remember, we still have a bull of his that's been slaughtered, and the Kohen is stirring it to make sure it doesn't coagulate. There's like a lot of things are holding in the middle as he's doing all these different avodas. Now he takes the blood from the bull. Remember, he shechted the bull to confess his sins and the sins of the Kohanim. Then now he takes that utensil. Now he's going to do the sprinklings that we already discussed. He goes into the Holies of Holies. He sprinkles from there. Sham, shmona hazoyos, eight sprinklings, bein bari aron, between the poles of the aron. Remember, one up, seven down. The Yotze, and he goes out, he leaves it in the Heichal, in front of the curtain, Al-Kain, on a base, Hazov, that's gold, Shoyashom, that was there. And it's there in the Heichal. I don't know if you have a picture of the blood in front of that. I don't know. Maybe it's the next picture. I don't know.
No, we'll have to go back.
Well, there it is. What's that table over there?
Sprinkling the blood before the curtain.
That's right. That's what he did. Okay, what's the next picture? Let's just see what the next one's going to show. Well, that's just different sprinkling. Okay, anyway, so now so he does the eight sprinklings, and now he has to leave the blood because he has more sprinkling to do with this from the blood of the par. But he's got to now take the goat's blood that's being stirred up. So now if he's doing this, and now the Rambam doesn't say it, but somebody's got to be in the Heichal there. Now somebody can be in the Heichal. He's finished with the Ketores. Somebody's going to the Heichal to stir the blood. You have to keep stirring it. We still need it. And it, the same problem of coagulation can happen outside the Heichal or inside the Heichal. Rambam doesn't say it, but there's got to be somebody stirring the blood over there. Now he goes out of the Heichal. Now for the first time, now he shechts the goat. That was the goat for Hashem in the lottery. He receives the blood. Remember, he only shechs two simanim, and then right away receives the blood. He goes to Kodesh Kodashim. Now the second set of blood he sprinkles, Sham, Shmona Hazoyas, eight sprinklings as well. Bein Bari Haram, between the poles of the urn. He goes out. He now leaves on the second golden base, so he's got two of them over there, Sheba Hechel and the Hechel. Okay. Now, I guess the guy who's been stirring the blood of the bull now can change and stir the blood of the goat, because now he's going to... So far we have 8 and 8, 16 sprinkles. Now the Kohen Gadol notel dam hapor meyal hakan. Now he takes the blood from the bull, which was on top of that gold base. Umazim imenu al haparoches. Now he sprinkles it onto the curtain, or in front of the curtain, Kineged Aron, juxtaposed, dead center, that would be in the middle of the parochas, before the Aron, Shmona Hazoyas, eight sprinklings, Umeiniach Dam HaPor, now he puts down the blood of the poor, now the guy starts stirring that blood to keep it going, Vinotol Dam HaSeir, now he takes the blood of the goat, Umazim Benol Parochas, Kineged Aron, Shmona Hazoyas, now he does eight sprinklings in front of the parochas, down the middle as well, and now you got 32 sprinklings.
But it's on the goes on the floor.
Now. On the floor,
the
not on the
picture is bad. It says on the
floor. Yeah, but even if you look at the pictures there, say it goes on the floor. Yeah.
It's hard to tell what he's doing here.
No, but it goes on the floor. It goes on the floor. Yeah. It's in front of, but not on. Okay, now he's done 32. There's 11 to go. What does he do with the next ones? You remember?
Yeah, the quarters.
No, but what does he do first? You're right, but what is he doing? Which blood? Which blood's he going to do? He's got two containers of blood, one from the goat and one from the bull.
Was it the bull's turn?
No, we mixed them up now.
Right.
Remember? V'yakagach ma'are dam ha'por letoch dam ha'so'ir. Look at this. He pours the blood of the bull. Now there's room in those vessels because we've already done 16 sprinkles out of each one. He pours from the utensil that has the blood of the bull. He puts it in letoch dam ha'so'ir into the utensil that has the blood of the goat. And then he pours it back a second time. Umachser hakol lamizrak shahayu b'dam hapor. Now he pours it back into the one that had the bull. Why is he doing that so much? Simple. Kadesh yizar v'yavev. It's going to be very mixed up very well. You pour it once, maybe the blood of the bull is on the top and the blood on the side. But now you pour it a second time, they're well mixed up. Now we have to do the last 11 sprinklings on the golden mizbeach. Va'omed lifnim mimizbach hazahav. He stands west of the mizbach hazahav. That means from the mizbech towards the paroches. That's west. Bein ha-mizbech, between the mizbech va'menorah. Where was the menorah? That was in the south. So now he is southwest of that small mizbech. Umaska lahazos. He begins to sprinkle. Okay, but it doesn't mean really sprinkle. But again, he's putting the blood. Now, you got to be careful over here. What's going to be next? Midama tarovas, from the mixed up blood. Al karnos mizbech hazav, on the four corners of that golden mizbech. Now, the next words, your English will probably mislead you here. And he surrounds it, v'holech and goes. Don't make a mistake and think he walks around it. It's a very small mizbech. But rather, imagine that this is the mizbech, and I'm south, let's say this is the mizbech, and I'm southwest. I'm over here, so what he does is, it's small enough, and he's tall enough, he can just circle it with his hand. Right. That's what the Rambam means. He's circling with his hand. All right, and he now puts the blood on the corners from the outside. Umaskal, now remember, he is what? Southwest. So let's just, you know, for the sake of argument, say that this is going to be southwest. All right? So now he goes, Mizrachis Tzvonis, he starts with northeast, so he stretches out, right? Litzvonis Maravis, to northwest. Lamaravis Dromis, to southwest. Lidromis Rachis, to southeast. So in other words, he's going like this, and he's tall enough that he can reach it with that reach. Val Kulam, and in all them, who know saying, Milmaton Lamalon, he takes it from below to up. He does it like this kind of direction. For the first three, like more like that, except the last one, Chutz Min Achrona, Shehoisel Afanav, because it was before him. Shunosa Mil Malmad, he does it from up down. Why is he changing it? Kadesh Shol Slach Lekav, he doesn't want to get his clothing dirty. In other words, if he does it down, it could fall right on his clothes. When he's further away, he could do it the other way. In other words, if he's doing it this way, it could get on his sleeve. So he kind of does it that way. When he's getting closer, it could just, so he does it down so it doesn't get onto his clothing. So therefore, he has to be careful to do it in a way that he doesn't get dirty. Okay, but so he's done four. There's still seven to go. And where do those seven go? Smack in the middle. But you got a problem. What's in the middle? What's on top of that mizbech? The coals that he put way hours and hours and hours ago. Remember, the Ketores was early in the morning with the carbon tummy. So now all you got is a bunch of ashes. Now he's got to sprinkle it on the mizbech. There's no, he has to be on the mizbech, not on the ashes. So he's got to now clear out those ashes. You do have a picture over there. I'm not sure where. Maybe the next picture, somewhere there is the altar, and you're going to notice that golden altar where ashes have been moved to the side. You've probably gone too far. Either, maybe. Maybe the next picture. No. Well, whatever. I know what was there. I saw it. Now you stoke those coals or the ashes. This direction, that direction, until you reveal the gold. You have to need a picture where the coin is putting the blood on the...
Well, it's right there. You can see part
of it. Oh, you see he's moved it over? That's the picture. So he has already moved a bunch of the ash to the side. So you see the gold.
What did he move it?
I don't know. Maybe with a utensil or something, or maybe with his hand. I don't know. Doesn't say. But he had to move it. Umaza midama taravas. Now he takes the blood that was all mixed up, al taharosh mizbech, on the golden shine of the mizbech, meaning the part that's a golden mizbech, the part you've cleared off and it's shining. He can't get rid of all of it because he doesn't want it to spill on the floor. So he puts it all to the side, and now he puts it in the middle. How many times? Sheva pamim, seven times. Bitzad hadarom, on closer to the south side of the top. Bemakom shishoma matnas karnosav, in the same place where he stopped. The last two sprinklings of the blood on the corners. Okay, now he's done 43 sprinkles. Now he's got one utensil with the mixture of the blood. Now he's got to get rid of it. Where's it going to go? So the Yotze, he goes out now of the Hechel completely. The Shofech Shiore Hadam, he takes the remainder blood, he pours it out. Al Yesod Maravi, on the western, southwestern base, shel mizbeach chitzon, of the outer mizbeach. Okay? Now, and that's a good place to stop. We now got him out of the mizbeach, out of the heichal. Now we're going to go to the goat that goes off the cliff. That's going to be tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Not